How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 165 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head to iTunes. You can search Locked On Thunder. Subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page. And find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. See all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Took yesterday off. I stayed in New York. I was not in Toronto for the Thunder's 123-102 Thursday night win. I'm from New York. If you listen to the podcast, you probably already know that. So I'm from New York. The Thunder played in Brooklyn on Tuesday. Stayed in New York for a couple days to see family, friends, all that stuff. So I've been here the last couple days, and I took yesterday off to have a little family time, a little bit extra time. But back today, back to the Friday podcast, and back to normal schedule all of next week and beyond, Monday through Friday, as usual. Thunder just won, 123-102. I watched it like most people did, on TV, except I had to watch on League Pass. So I actually watched the Toronto broadcast, not the Thunder broadcast tonight, because you get the home broadcast. Russell Westbrook, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists, triple-double number 34. He's now 7 away from Oscar Robertson's record of 41 with 14 games to play. So he's got to do the math, one every other game the rest of the year. And that's what he's done so far this year, 34 and 68 games. So he's pacing to exactly tie that record right now, assuming he plays all the final 14 games, which is, it's amazing what he's been doing. That's 4 straight triple-doubles for him right now. It is his 4th time this year that he's had a triple-double streak of at least 4 games, which is just crazy. Unbelievable. You know, I was looking at it, I was like, man, 4 straight triple-doubles, amazing. And I knew he'd done it this year already. But I wanted to see, when's the last time Russell Westbrook had a triple-double streak of 4 straight triple-doubles? 3 weeks ago. It was 3 weeks ago. It was the very end of February. So nothing extraordinary for Westbrook. Maybe it's extraordinary for everybody else who's ever picked up a basketball. But nothing extraordinary for Russell Westbrook. Oladipo had another really strong offensive game, 23 points, 3 of 3 from 3. 7 guys in double figures. Westbrook, Oladipo, Adams, Robertson, Kanter, Gibson, and Abrinas. Season-high 33 assists for the Thunder. They played a tremendous offensive game. I think you can make an argument this was their best offensive game of the season. It was not against a tremendous defensive team in Toronto. But this is still a good team, even without Kyle Lowry. It's a team that's still mostly won, even without Kyle Lowry. Great win on the road, really, really great win. One of their best games of the season. Just from, you know, Toronto on the road is not necessarily on par with beating the Spurs or maybe even Utah on the road or the Clippers game on the road or you know the Cavs game at home or Houston at home. It's not necessarily on that if you just look at it like from an NCAA you know resume perspective, like when you're looking at a team's resume heading into the NCAA tournament. But from the quality that they played in this game. Like they played a great game. I mean, they played a really good game. They were strong on both sides of the ball. They moved the ball tremendously offensively. Westbrook's passing was just crazy. Like, he had 16 assists. He only played 3 quarters. He didn't play in the fourth. They were up 27 through 3, and he never even got in the fourth. He had more assists than the entire Raptors team. The Raptors had 15 assists. He had 16. So his passing was absolutely incredible. The way his transition passing, especially, made one to Oladipo, which was really awesome, and he made one to Robertson, he made one to Gibson. Like, some of these 30-plus foot, 50-plus foot passes are just amazing, which he's been doing all year, but it was special on Thursday night what he was able to do as a passer, as a facilitator. Made mostly, really all good decisions with the ball. And when he's making good decisions, I mean, he shot really well in this game, shot extraordinarily well. 8 of 17 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line. I mean, you know, 24 points on 17 shots. Extremely efficient game. But he doesn't even have to shoot well if he's going to play like this. every other aspect of the game. He doesn't even need to shoot well to not just play well, but play an absolutely dominant game. And that's kind of what he did against the Nets. Didn't shoot well against the Nets. 6 of 18. Didn't shoot well at all, but he was incredible in that Nets game. 25, 19, and 12 in that game. He was incredible. When he's passing like that, when he's making decisions like that, and with the way he's come out of the gate the last three games with just 6 assists in the first quarter against San Antonio, 8 in the first quarter against Brooklyn, 5 or 6 more tonight against Toronto in the first quarter. The way he's just coming out of the gate, just firing, finding everybody, setting up everybody in the first quarter. I know these haven't been great defenses they're going up against, and it's a lot harder to do when you're going up against really good ones. And their next game is against Sacramento, and that's not like that's a great defense either. I think it's incredibly possible we're going to see the same thing on Saturday afternoon when they have Sacramento at home. But what he's been doing, the way he's been setting up guys early, it's extraordinary. I think you can make an argument that, I mean, he's had so many good games this year and so many good stretches. I don't know, I have to go back and look at it, but this has got to be one of his best four-game stretches of the season. He's the way that he's been playing, even though he hasn't shot the ball well. He shot the ball under 40% during this four-game stretch. But the way that he's finding guys and the decisions he's making with the ball is just extraordinary. Some of the passes he's making are just absolutely unbelievable. Defensively, I thought they were pretty good tonight. I thought they did a good job. I mean, DeMar DeRozan had 22 on 14 shots. But Robertson did a good job on him. He stuck with him. He fouled him on a couple of jump shots. That's not ideal. You'll give Robertson a pass for that. One of Robertson's best traits as a defender, as non-ball defender, is not biting on pump fakes, not getting his hand in there, not getting his body in there when he's not supposed to. For the most part, he doesn't do that. We'll only give him a little bit of a pass on that. I thought he did a really good job on DeRozan. Like, DeRozan made tough shots. That's just what that dude does. I never thought he'd be this good because I didn't think he had it in him to make shots this difficult so consistently. But that's just what he does. That's what he's doing. He's that good. He's obviously a really, really, really good scorer. But Robertson was more involved offensively in this game, too. Ran a pick and roll, set up a pick and roll as a screener. I like when they do that little short roll with him. You know, a lot of times when they do pick and rolls with him, and they don't do it often, but a lot of times when they pick and roll with him, he just hard dives to the basket. And that's pretty much it. I like it when they do the short roll. He stops around the free throw line, and he can be a little bit more of a decision maker. And that way, he doesn't get bumped as much. He doesn't, you know, lose his strength when he's hanging in there around the bigs and have that strength disadvantage, because obviously he's not like he's a weak guy, but he's just, you know, he's not going to bump with, you know, a 7-foot center or anything like that. So I like when they do that short roll, which they did a couple of times tonight. Worked pretty well. They were good. They were really, really good in this game. It was an impressive performance from them by pretty much everybody. Before we move on, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for the game or show you want to go to, and none of those other ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look at tickets for Bill Maher when he comes into Oklahoma City. Unfortunately, not here for it, so that was a disappointment. But everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Thunder. That's LO like locked on. And SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Twitter questions. First, from Todd Lytle. What in the absolute hell is Westbrook doing with a pass like that? I am pretty sure I know what you're talking about, Todd. This, I mean, with all the Westbrook dunks this season, the game-winning threes, the game-winning, you know, jumpers or whatever it is, the coast-to-coast layups, the passes, everything. I think this was Russell Westbrook's best play of the season. Crazy. I don't know how he saw it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how it happened. So Westbrook got a steal on a loose ball on the right side of the court, all the way on the other side, and started pushing up court like he always does when he gets the ball. He curled around, started pushing up court on the right side of the court. And Victor Oladipo and Taj Gibson were both streaking down the left ahead of them. And two defenders were next to them. Like, these guys were not open. And Russell Westbrook nutmegged Corey Joseph on a bounce pass that was probably 40 feet right into Victor Oladipo. He one-hand baseball threw it on the run. Actually, he was on the run, so it was almost like a quarterback getting rushed in the pocket. And he one-hand threw it and bounce passed it to Oladipo for what ended up being an open layup. Not even a dribble, just two steps, open layup, and that was it. I have no idea how he found him. I have no idea how he nutmegged Corey Joseph. Now, I'm not convinced that he was trying to nutmeg Corey Joseph, but that's fine. That bounce pass was crazy. I don't know. The incredible thing was how he realized that that guy was open. Go back, watch that play. I tweeted it out. You can go find it on my Twitter timeline. Scroll back. I know I tweet a lot, but scroll back, find that play. Pause it. Right when Westbrook is releasing the ball. As he's releasing the ball, just pause it. Look at where Oladipo is standing. Look at where Gibson is standing. And look at where Joseph is standing. And tell me how in the world he knew that Victor Oladipo was going to be open if he hit him in the hands in that spot. Because I have no idea how the hell he knew it. Obviously, he knew. That's not lucky. That's just an unbelievable read. I have no idea how he saw this. That's the most incredible part of great NBA players to me. How they can read the speed of the game. I mean, That's moving so fast. And how Westbrook can make a read like that. There are not many guys who can make a read like that. And who can also physically make the pass on top of it. Like, LeBron can do that. But, like, I'm not saying he would do that if you let him do that. But I'm just trying to think of guys who are just both physically and intellectually capable of making that play. But not many. LeBron, I'll say, because he's LeBron. I don't know if Chris Paul makes that pass. Maybe Chris Paul makes that pass. Maybe Chris Paul makes that pass. Not many guys are going to do that. Maybe John Wall makes that pass. John Wall gets a lot of velocity on his passes. Harden probably doesn't because it was a right-handed pass, and I don't think Harden makes that, you know, righty. Maybe he can do it lefty on the other side of the court, but Harden probably doesn't do it from that angle, from that side of the court. Like, I just don't know how many people are just capable of pulling off a pass like that, finding that read and making that pass. And look, I guess you could say to me, if Russ does that pass 10 times, he's not going to make it 10 times, which I'm sure that's true. But man, oh my goodness. He did it once and he made it once. The fact that he did it once, that was so incredible. And the answer to your question, Todd, I have no idea what the hell he was doing with a pass like that. But that was just amazing. I was in awe. I was in awe of that pass. Now, I don't really get in awe. You guys hear that New York City traffic right there? That is some honking. That is some honking on West End Avenue. I don't get that gnaw over this stuff usually. I really don't. But on a play like that, man, on a play like that, that was something else. Next one from Smiling Contender. Will Westbrook's performance tonight tilt the MVP narrative? 14 games left. This is the number one and number two storylines for the Thunder right now. Or will Russell Westbrook average a triple-double? Because that's history. And who's going to win MVP? That's one and two for the Thunder. I honestly believe that playoff seeding comes third. I'm sure that's not true for the players, and it shouldn't be true for the players. The players are thinking of playoff seeding number one. But I really think prioritizing history in terms of just storylines, prioritizing history over prioritizing playoff seeding, it should always be what we do. This is important, what's going on with Russell Westbrook. It's really important. Now, will this performance tonight tilt the MVP narrative? Probably not. Maybe it does tonight. If voting came tonight, maybe. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think it's going to tilt anything. I don't think people are going to look back and say, man, remember when he had that one great game? Because Harden's going to have an unbelievable game at some point in this final month. He's going to have a lot more than an unbelievable game. And so is Westbrook. This is not going to be Westbrook's last fantastic game. A win against a non-conference team. I mean, a good non-conference team, but a win against a non-conference team in the middle of March. It's not going to win or lose you MVP. It's just, it's not. So I don't think it's going to tilt it. And I would warn against thinking that one singular game should tilt it all. They're all equally important for the most part. They really are. Now, maybe when the rest of the team isn't stepping up and you see Westbrook or you see Harden or you see Kawhi or you see LeBron just will his team to a win, and all four of those guys have done that at different points this season, that I buy. I'm cool with you weighing that performance more than when everybody's playing great and they're going on all cylinders and that guy can take maybe a little bit more of a backseat or something like that on that particular night. That makes sense. But just in terms of he played great weight like that. And look, Russ is going to look good when everyone else is playing well. And pretty much everyone played well in this game. Everyone of consequence, for the most part, played well in this game. So I don't think it's going to tilt anything. And I also think it's important not to take on that mentality because you just don't need to go back and forth. Now, I think right now, the season ended today, I think Harden's the MVP. But it's close enough in my mind that I haven't decided, like, if I get a vote. And I don't even know if I'll get a vote. But I haven't decided. If I get a vote, I'll vote for Harden. That's not my mentality at all. It can swing in the final 14 games. If Russ blows up in the final 14 or Harden falls back in the final 14 or vice versa, or both of those things happen or whatever it is, like that can change. But if the season were to end today, I'd go with Harden. But I'm also not going to be swung by one game by any of them. At the end of the year, I'm going to go at it. I'm going to look at 82 games, and I'm going to try to see who helped their team out the most over that 82-game period. Next one, final one, from Gonza Rondi. Do you see the Thunder moving up to 5? We'll get to the team storyline now that we've got like 15 minutes on Russell Westbrook. I'm recording this while the Clippers are playing right now. Let's see this. Let's see what the Clippers score is. Clippers are down at halftime right now to Denver. I'm not watching this game, in case you couldn't tell. They have not been playing great basketball lately. They've got their guys healthy now, and they're not winning, and they're not playing great, and they're losing in Denver right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the rest of that game, so I'm not necessarily going to count it a loss. But at least at the time of recording this podcast, which is around 9:15 Central Time on Thursday night, the Thunder are one back in the loss column of the Clippers. I still think the Clippers are going to get the 5. I think the Thunder are going to get the 6, but I still think the Clippers are going to get the 5, reason being they got more home games left than the Thunder do. They've got a pretty even strength of schedule. I think they play the same amount or maybe one off. There's a one team difference or something like that in teams under 500 that they have left on the schedule. So it's pretty similar. The Clippers have more home games. And the Clippers are healthier. Not healthier than the Thunder. The Thunder are healthy, but they are healthier than they've been throughout the course of this season. If you look at this starting lineup for the Clippers, it still has one of the league's best net ratings. They're like plus 12 per 100 possessions, the Clippers starting lineup. That's Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Bam Mute, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. No matter who's been slotted into that three the last few years, whether it's Bam Mute or Wes Johnson or Matt Barnes or, you know, anyone, going back to the millions of threes that they've had and they've tried to plug in, and it's just kind of been that revolving door three, those four guys on the court together have always been really good, and I kind of think with them healthy, this is kind of going to be a funk. This group has finished off the regular season, the last 10, 12, 13 games of the regular season, really strong, pretty much every single year since they've been together. Certainly every single year under Doc. So I think that's a possibility of happening this year, especially considering the scheduling ramifications. Now, with the way the Clippers are playing lately, 5-5 in their last 10, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. They haven't been playing great. Blake Griffin's been struggling a little bit lately. He did not look good in that Utah game the other night. And I think he'll turn it around. I think Blake Griffin is probably an overly criticized player. He had an incredible stretch recently where he was playing unbelievable basketball, and I think he'll play well on the whole at the end of the year. But they're just not meshing great. They're not playing good defense. Their defense is plummeting. It's like really, really falling compared to where it was at the start of the season. Wouldn't shock me if the Thunder passed them. Wouldn't shock me. They don't play each other again the rest of the year. But I still think the Clippers' schedule, their history together, the numbers of their starting lineups, which this season are still great, even amidst what's been such a disappointing season, considering the way they started the year. I mean, they're a 500 team since they started 14-2. But it's been a disappointing season for them. But at the same time, I keep thinking, and maybe it's stale. Maybe I'm wrong and I just can't see it. Maybe I just can't see it. But I keep thinking those starters, the numbers with them on the court are still great. And if they're on the court and they're healthy and those guys are on the court a lot, I think the Clippers are going to win. They're going to win a lot more than they're going to lose, and I think that's going to carry them to the 5. I don't know if they'll catch Utah, especially after that loss the other night, but I think it'll carry them to at least the 5. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz. FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm off for the weekend. The Thunder play Sacramento at home. That's an afternoon game, 2 p.m. Amazing for deadline writing. Don't have to deal with the deadlines on that one. I can take my time when they're done. I can have a nice, relaxing Saturday night. It's going to be wonderful. 2 p.m. Central Time against Sacramento at home on Saturday. I'm loving those early afternoon starts. I'm back with you guys on Monday. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.